There was one of the characteristics of David's mighty men in 1 Chronicles 12. It says that they understood the times to see whether the things they ought to do. So there are some things that are dark, that don't make sense, but this will hopefully give us some understanding. Understanding is kind of looking at things long term. Jeremiah 11 is where we're at. And so there's a saying in Murphy's Law is, if it don't make sense, there's a buck in it. But if a lot of things don't make sense, if there's not a buck in it, there's something pretty dark involved with it. So I'm going to deal with the conspiracy of the Nicolaitans. Okay, Jeremiah 11 is where we're at. So it's going to be about some conspiracy things. We'll go ahead and pray first. Lord, I do pray you'd help us as we help us to be people that are knowledgeable about things. We do understand the dark side. We understand the opportunities that you've given us. And I pray you'd help us to see what's going on throughout the world, but yet also to see that you have a purpose for these things. I do pray you'd help us understand these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Jeremiah 11. Jeremiah was a prophet at the end of the nation of Judah's life when Babylon came in. So we're going to see some very similar things. I've been going through the reference Bible for the fourth edition. Well, the fourth edition I'm probably working on maybe get printed this year. That'd be a red letter edition. And then a thought came to my mind about what about when in the Old Testament we have thus saith the Lord. For example, in Jeremiah 11, verse 6, then said the Lord unto me, and so what I'm doing on this, and this one's only going to be in PDF, where the word proclaim, that's going to be turned into blue. So you have a red letter edition for Jesus' words, a blue letter for God in the Old Testament, Lord. And then on occasion you'll see the Holy Ghost, that's green. And then the angel of the Lord, that's orange. And so I'm putting that only in PDF because you can't really print that. So if a person wants a PDF file. So I've been going through Jeremiah of late. And there's some very interesting things that Jeremiah has. And I plan to go through some of the characteristics of the Jews prior to the destruction. And we'll see the same things in our country. But Jeremiah 11, verse 6, it says, "Thus said the Lord, or then said the Lord unto me, proclaim all these words in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, saying, hear ye the words of this covenant and do them." Okay, we got to think of what he's been doing. Jeremiah was a loner, so he didn't have a congregation of people per se. Everybody was opposed to him. He's by himself. He wasn't married. So he can just get up and go to a city. So if you can think that there's a guy like that in northern Indiana, on the northern, just one-fourth of Indiana, and then he'd just go over to Cedar Lake, walk on the streets and yell some verses out. Then he'd go over to Hebron, get on the street corner, hold a sign and yell some things out. Then he'd go down to DeMott or Rensselaer. Okay, and he just did that by himself, and that's what he's doing, Jeremiah. And he said this, "For I earnestly protested unto your fathers in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt, even unto this day, rising early and protesting, saying, obey my voice." I've had a couple of people ask me that when I'm holding a Bible verse sign, and they said, "What are you protesting?" Well, really not protesting, but yeah, protesting against the Pope, I guess. Okay, but they've asked that question. So that's kind of what he's doing. Then he said, "Yea, they obeyed not." Now he's saying this to Judah in verse 6 of covenant. He said, "You made an agreement with God in Deuteronomy, and he's the one that brought you out of Egypt. Now I'm protesting because you're not obeying him, and because you're not obeying him, here's what's going to happen. For they obeyed not, neither inclined their ear," that's verse 8, "but walked everyone in the imagination of their evil heart. Therefore I will bring upon them all the words of this covenant." You'll read that in Deuteronomy 28, is all those words there. And it says, "which I commanded them to do, but they did them not. And the Lord said unto me," individually, "a conspiracy." Ah, look at that word there, a conspiracy is found among the men of Judah and among the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They are turned back to the iniquities of their forefathers, which refused to hear my words. And they went after other gods to serve them. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken my covenant, which I made with their fathers. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon them, which they shall not be able to escape. And though they cry unto me, I will not hearken unto them. And then so forth. But notice in verse 9, the word conspiracy. Okay, there are characteristics of a conspiracy. Okay, the characteristics in law and the Bible are defined the same, as the Bible is a legal document. And if you want to see the description of it, go to Acts 23, and I'll show a conspiracy in the Bible. Okay, the word conspiracy is found 10 times in the Bible. And a conspiracy is a secret plan by two or more people to do something unlawful or harmful. That's all that a conspiracy is. Okay, if you mention the word conspiracy on any talk radio, it doesn't matter, you will hear a click and a dial tone. As soon as you mention that word, that's what all of them do. Rush Limbaugh, all of them, the guy out in California, I forget his name, okay? Every time you mention, bring up that word on any talk radio, conspiracy, click. Okay, why? Because they don't want to think of this. Acts 23, verse 11. Okay, this is Paul being getting ready to be extradited to Rome. Acts 23, 11. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. So he's going to a court proceedings, he's being extradited, and in that process, the angel, must be a real sadistic type, or the Lord, he said, oh, be of good cheer, have a good time. Free travel expenses. You're going to Rome. Okay, and then it says, and when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. And they were more than 40 which had made this conspiracy. So two or more, so we got 40. They're agreeing what they're going to do. They want to murder somebody. So that's what a secret plan by two or more to do something unlawful or harmful. And then it came to the chief priests and the elders and said, we have bound ourselves under a great curse that we will eat nothing until we have slain Paul. I think 40 guys died of starvation if they kept their oath. Now therefore, ye with the council signified to the chief captain that he might bring down unto you tomorrow, as though ye would inquire something more perfectly concerning him, and we are ever, he come near, are ready to kill him. Okay, so the conspiracy met with the legal entities and said, if you do this at this time, you bring Paul at this time, then us, one of us 40 or all of us, we're going to get him. Okay, and when Paul's sister's son, so his niece, heard of their lying in wait, she got this secret plan, heard about it, because they probably told her, there's a little girl over there, and I'll forget, she don't know what's going on. He went and entered into the castle and told, He went in and entered into the castle and told Paul. Then Paul called one of the centurions unto him and said, bring this young man unto the chief captain, for he had a certain thing to tell him. So he doesn't know who's in part of this conspiracy. So he took him and brought him to the chief captain and said, Paul the prisoner called me unto him and prayed me to bring this young man unto thee, who hath something to say unto thee. Then the chief captain took him by the hand and went with him and aside privately and asked him, what is this that thou hast to tell me? And he said, the Jews have agreed to desire thee that thou wouldest bring down Paul tomorrow into the council, as though they would inquire somewhat of him more perfectly, but do not thou yield unto them, for there lie in wait for him of them more than 40 men which have bound themselves with an oath that they will neither eat nor drink till they have killed him, and now are they ready, looking for a promise from thee? So, and then when you read through there, you'll see what the chief captain did. Now, this is often what the Lord does. The Lord does expose the conspiracy to the necessary people, the specific people, so that they can respond properly. Okay, now, if you would, go back to Jeremiah 5. Okay, remember Jeremiah said there's a conspiracy, and a conspiracy is a secret plan by two or more to do something unlawful or harmful. In Jeremiah 5, he mentions this in verse 25. Actually 26. He says, "For among my people are found wicked men. They lay wait as he that setteth snares. They set a trap. They catch men. As a cage is full of birds, so are their houses full of deceit. Therefore they are become great and waxen rich. They are waxen fat. They shine. Yea, they overpass the deeds of the wicked. They judge not the cause of the fatherless. They prosper." Okay, so they're in the judging process. Some type of judges. "And the right of the needy do they not judge?" So in some political fashion. And then he says, "Shall I not visit these things, saith the Lord? And shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their own means." That's pragmatism. The end justifies the means. "And a sad thing is, and my people love to have it so. And what will ye do in the end thereof?" What are they going to do? Well, too late for praying. Should have been doing that. So I want to give you some thoughts about this. J. Edgar Hoover said this many years ago. He said, "The individual is handicapped by coming face to face with a conspiracy so monstrous, he cannot believe it exists." And so if you do study some of the conspiracies and you bring it up to somebody about these ideas that you've learned, they look at you and say, "That is so outrageous. I don't even think that can exist." But it does. It does. And this is where the talk radio guys are at. So when you bring up the word, they're thinking, "Are you telling me there are people so evil that they intend to do these things?" Yeah, that's right. But J. Edgar says that's so oblivious to people, they can't imagine it. And so you are declared the nutcase instead of the nutcase or the conspirators. The last president we had that warned about secret societies. Anybody know who that is? JFK warned about secret societies, okay, and which implied a conspiracy. And he's the last one that spoke, you know, or actually competed with the Fed. Okay, and then we know what happened to him. Okay, so I'm going to give some thoughts this morning about a conspiracy. And again, this is just hopefully giving us, okay, now I understand. Things that don't make sense, I understand them. And yes, things that don't make sense, there's a buck in it. That's from the man's aspect, the monetary aspect, is for him to deceptively get wealth from others. When you're dealing with the really dark world, they're not interested in the monetary aspect except to take it from people, to strap them. They're interested in control. That's the bottom line. It's control. Okay, the first thought is this. Conspiracies abound and infiltrate every area of life today. Every single area. You can find them everywhere. Why is that? Well, Satan and his minions have had 2,000 years since Christ. And so for 2,000 years, he has now entrenched in every area of life deceptions. This is why Jesus, when the apostles asked Jesus about some signs about his coming, he said, "Be not deceived." The reason why in our age deception is so easily promoted. And there's an old story that goes that truth and error went swimming together. And truth and error are like two little boys that they went skinny dipping in a lake in this forest. And when truth was in the deep end, error jumped out and stole truth's clothes. And ever since then, error's been living in truth's clothes. And the only real truth is the naked truth. Okay, and that's kind of a saying or story that's been told. Okay, and now truth is often stranger than fiction. When you tell the people the truth about a certain issue, and they'll look at you like, are you serious? That's the intent? Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. Truth is often stranger than fiction. Okay, and the reason why is Satan has so many deceptions going on, and he will often hide his deceptions or his intentions within plain sight. It's right in front of us. If you just start noticing these intentions, Satan is like a dog or a wolf that's got to mark his territory everywhere he goes. And if you go into a graveyard, you'll see some of his intentions. There's a little statue there. And if you go to government centers, you'll see, oh, there's another intention. And if you look closely at some of the insignias or the symbols of major corporations, oh, there's an intention. There's a deception right there. If you look at the Alfa Romeo car, look at their symbol. It's a cross on one side, like the red cross. On the other side, it's a red serpent eating an individual, a person, a man or a child. It's got a snake coming up, and it's got a person's mouth. It's got the serpent's mouth or the dragon's mouth, and a person's halfway in up to the waist. Man, if that's not something right in front of us, telling us the real intentions. Somebody, whoever it was, I'm not saying that you're wrong to own that car or to work for that company, but somebody who promoted that symbol was promoting something pretty devious. It's right in front of us. These marks are evidences of the intentions or the deception. Now, Satan has marked his territory, and that usually becomes his strongholds. And you'll see in our governing structures, you'll see Christian symbols and satanic symbols side by side and sometimes interwoven. Truth is often stranger than fiction. In most cases, when something is publicized, the title, the intentions are the opposite. The Patriot Act. Doesn't that sound nice? The intentions were the exact opposite. People for the American Way. Sounds like a real nice title for a liberal front group. The exact opposite. American Civil Liberties Union. ACLU. It's not American, and it's not civil, and they don't want liberty. They do have a union, though. Okay? It's the exact opposite. There's a fellow that's credited with this statement. Sinclair Lewis was his name. Not a believer at all, in fact, an atheist. He said this statement: when fascism comes to America, it will be wrapped in a flag carrying a cross. Boy, that's true. That's true. Now, if you tell people this statement, the Bible is compatible with science, and in fact, encourages science, they'll look at you like you're crazy. And then you turn around and tell them your evolutionary theory is not scientific. They'll look at you like you're crazy, but you know truth is stranger than fiction. It is not scientific. It is a faith that is based on the impossible, more impossible than creation, but yet they believe it. And I've got those exact quotes from evolutionary proponents, where they admit it's a faith. Truth is often stranger than fiction. Now, when you get into conspiracies, either at the local level or at the state level or the federal level or international level, it doesn't really matter. They're endless. I mean, I could just start listing conspiracies. I think there's a movie Mel Gibson put out called The Conspiracy Theorist. I'm sitting there watching that. Yeah, I believe that. Yeah, I believe that. Yeah, I believe that one too. Yeah, that one too. Okay, maybe I could have been the actor on that show. Okay, but you've got the Club of Rome. You've got the Illuminati. You've got the Jesuits. You've got the Freemasons. You've got the Rothschilds. David Rockefeller. David Rockefeller, let's take a quote from that man. Here's what he said. Some even believe that we are part of a secret cabal working against the best interest of the United States, characterizing my family, Rockefellers, and me as internationalist, and of conspiring with others around the world to build a more integrated global political economic structure, one world, if you will. If that's the charge, I stand guilty and I am proud of it. Whoa, that's quite an admission by Rockefeller. He's not hiding it, is he? He's proud of it. He's arrogant of it. I mean, the news industry, the fake news industry, the MSNBC, Mika Brzezinski said this, very upset. Trump is trying to undermine the media by tweeting. He could have undermined the messaging so much that he can actually control exactly what people think. And that is our job. Whoa! She had the arrogance to say that. I mean, the conspiracies are endless. You can go in the medical world, the AMA. We have Morris scheduled for late May. Morris Hartman. He had a young lady come into his office with her mother. And the mother was a former wife of a medical doctor who was part of the upper echelon of the AMA. And that lady told Morris a story that she went to a meeting with her husband at a national AMA meeting. And at that meeting, because he kept begging her to come, and so she finally went, she actually sat in one of the meetings. And that meeting, lo and behold, was the meeting that they took an annual vote on cancer. Medical doctors. The vote was, are we going to let people know the cure for cancer this year? The vote has been unanimous every time they brought it up, and the answer is no. She sat there astounded. Went to the motel room, husband comes home, and she says, I can't believe what I heard. We've got relatives that died from cancer, and you know there's a cure? I said, yeah. I don't know if I can live with a man that knows that. She divorced him 2 months later. Yeah, that's the AMA. Cancer is too big of a moneymaker. As all the other things, that's the conspiracy. You see, are they that evil? Yeah. The NEA is the conspirators above the public education. A lot of good public school teachers that don't like the NEA, but that's the conspiracy. In a space program, it's NASA. In health and safety, oh, it's FEMA. Yeah, that's a conspiracy. In a monetary world, the monopoly is the Fed. Yeah, that's a conspiracy. In the entertainment world, it's Hollywood. That's a conspiracy. In the gaming world of the young people, it's not, their intention is not to entertain you and I. The gaming is not just, that's a sidebar entertainment. The intention is control. That's the conspiracy of it. Okay? In the race world, the apostate Jews or fake Jews, yeah, that's a conspiracy. Now, these are endless. These are endless. And a person can go, you can be paranoid on these things. You see, the thing about conspiracy truth is somewhere between paranoid and denial. I've been on both ends, paranoid and denial. Somewhere in that is the truth of a conspiracy. And a person needs to study and find out. But yet, don't waste a lot of time. Don't waste a lot of time, you know, chasing these things. Because then we've overreacted. Because God has a purpose. Now beware of the main conspiracy. This one you need to beware of. The main conspiracy against the believer. And there's one main one, big one. Okay, Ezekiel came up with the plan of the Old Testament. Ezekiel chapter 22. The big conspiracy undercutting the church was foretold by Ezekiel in Ezekiel 22, and then it had gotten entrenched in the church of Ephesus and Pergamos in Revelation 2. We'll get into that one. Ezekiel 22, verse 23, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, thou art the land that is not clean, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets. Notice it's religious. In the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey, they have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priest. Okay, now we got prophets and priests in this conspiracy. They have violated my law and have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between the King James Bible and the NIV. Oh, I'm sorry. It says holy and profane. I applied it instead of reading it. They have put no difference between the spiritual hymns in our hymn book and the contemporary music. That's applying it. No difference. Between the holy and profane, neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean. And have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, that's Jewish, and I am profane among them. Her princes, okay, so it went from religion, prophets, verse 25, priests, verse 26, princes, political. It went from religious to political. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey. They shed blood to destroy souls to get dishonest gain. Her prophets have dabbed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity, divining lies unto them, saying, thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. So they'll say, the Bible says, and then they won't quote a Bible. They'll make a generic statement. Okay, so that's what's going on. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery. So that's like the looters. The looters, you know, when you have a, you know, some national thing. And have vexed the poor needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that would make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy, but I found none. So, in that midst of that, God said, I'm looking for a guy to stand up against this. A man to stand in the hedge. Okay, now in the New Testament, Revelation chapter 2, verse 6 and 15, you take a look at it. This main conspiracy is against the believer. This is the one you and I really need to know about. This had gotten entrenched within the church in Revelation 2, verse 6, and it's called there the deeds of the Nicolaitans. And in Revelation 2, verse 15, it's called the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Okay, and so the word Nicolaitan, a lot of times a word, a person's name has a meaning. Okay, Nicolaitan. You can pretty much get it. Laetin or laity, Nico, to conquer. This is where you get the mentality of a clergy and laity. Clergy and laity. Now, in this case, it's on the dark side of the clergy and laity, it's the clergy conquering the laity, subjecting the laity under their control. Okay, that Nicolaitan is taking the conspiracy of Ezekiel 22 and has controlled the church. Okay, in the Catholic world, it's when the Pope and the Cardinals and the Bishops, You know, and the priests say that they are the official teachers of the Bible. You cannot understand the Bible unless they teach you. That's Nicolaitans. In the Protestant world, that's the Greek of friars. Friars, F-R-I-A-R, friars. They say, and I've had them admit this, I've had some of these pastors admit this to me, that the only way you and I can get the truth is for them to Greekify the originals so you can understand it. That's Nicolaitan. God hates that. If you can read sixth grade English, and if you got a pure Bible in English, a King James Bible, you got the truth where the Spirit of God has promised to guide you in all truth. Forget Greek, forget Hebrew. I mean, it's right in front of us. Okay, and so that's the promise of God. These guys believe God inspired a book, done lost it, and they, in their great godly opinion, are the ones going to explain it to us. Oh, I'm so happy. I've been on both camps of that. Okay, now this conspiracy is the one that is enslaving the church. That's the one you and I need to really be understanding. The Nicolaitans of the education world would be the NEA. The Nicolaitans of the space program would be the NAS or the NASA. You know? In the government agenda would be Illuminati, Freemasons, so forth, so on. In the monetary world, it's the Fed, a private corporation. Okay, so you got all these Nicolaitans. Oh, in the agriculture world, it's Monsanto. Okay, and so every area of life, why is it like this? Well, the devil's had 2,000 years since Christ to infiltrate every area, and you can find this everywhere. And I hope this helps us understand what's going on. Oh, now I see what's going on. In the Bible realm, that's conspiracy saying that that book is not your final authority, but it is. It is. I've been on both sides of that fence. I understand the apathy that a person experiences when they believe, that guy don't believe that book. I understand the apathy. And that's where people are at in our culture. They know something's wrong, but they can't put their finger on it. And since they can't put their finger on it, they just say, what's the use? You see? That's why it is that way. You see, and in the church world, in the belief world, apostasy leads to apathy with the people, which leads to anarchy in the streets. And that's where we're headed. Now, some people think we got a reprieve. The church is still apostate. The church is still apostate. Preachers are still apostate. Write to Christian colleges and ask them this question: could you please direct me to where I can find a pure, inspired word of God? They don't believe it. How many of them don't believe it? 98% of it. They don't get together in a conspiratorial way, but a spirit has led over them. I was taught these things, and I know the feeling. The apathy. And I know how you can feel like, man, there's no hope. But here's what we can understand. I don't need to fight the conspiracy. Why? I'm getting sidetracked. You don't want to get sidetracked away from the main focus. Conspiracies are tools of God like the devil is. It's a tool. Why does God allow these things? Go to Deuteronomy chapter 13, and we go back to the Old Testament. We see why God allowed false religions amongst the Jews. He didn't come in and just hammer them all. Okay, some of them he did, but he allowed some to kind of hang around. Why? There's a reason. Conspirators are tools of God to test the believer's faith and sincerity. That's what it's for. Deuteronomy chapter 13, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth a sign and wonders. Okay, so that valid amongst the Jews. And the sign or the wonder come to pass, Wherefore he spake unto thee, saying, Let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Okay, usually the favorite god was a Baal, B-A-A-L. The modern word for Baal is Allah. Okay, Baal's symbol would be the obelisk. You see it at cemeteries, you'll see it at the Washington Monument. That's Baal's symbol. Or the sunburst, that's Baal's symbol. Okay? That's what he's telling. Now, why does God allow this? Verse 3, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. You ever deal with somebody that knows these conspiracies and that's all they want to talk about, and then if you try to shift it to the Lord, they don't want to talk about him? They're in the same ballpark as the conspirators. That's where they're going to go to the same place and live eternity with them. You see, if you're not interested in the Lord, who cares if you know about these things? You got to bring it back to God. God has a purpose for these things. And the purpose is so that we stay on our knees. The purpose is so that we get in the Word of God. And then we tell it to others. And we try to get this individual here, and this individual here, and this individual here, back and forth. That's the purpose. You see, sincerity in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, that's what God's looking at, is our sincerity. Are we sincere in what we believe? And you can tell when truth and error have crossed, where truth is stranger than fiction, and error looks more like truth. Okay, when Jesus was on earth, what did the religious crowd call him? Beelzebub. When the Antichrist gets on earth, you know what the religious crowd's going to call him? The Christ. They get it switched. Why? Deception. In 2 Corinthians 1 verse 12, notice there's a word, sincerity. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity. Go to the next chapter, chapter 2, verse 17. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. That verse is changed in every new Bible. Every new Bible takes the word corrupt out, put petals in, peddling. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity. Sincerity. You see, that's what the Lord's looking at. He's looking to see how sincere, are we sincerely seeking after the Lord? Okay, 2 Corinthians 8, verse 8. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of frowardness of others to prove the sincerity of your love. That's what the Lord's wanting to see in us. Is we can weed through all these deceptions and say, oh, there's the truth. It's about like your garden in August. You know, your garden in August where all the weeds got up all over everything. You got to try to weed through the, oh, there's that bean. Yeah, no, it's in there somewhere. You know, and if you start yanking all the weeds out at that time, but at that, you're pulling the bean up with it. And that's why you want to get them when they're small. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9, he says, And this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Love for who? Love for the Lord. That ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ. But you need, see, now if a person focuses on the obstacle, the conspiracy, and that's all you think about, 2 Timothy 1, 7 will say, we are not under the spirit of fear, but of love and of a sound mind. We know about them, but yet we recognize that's just the hammer in God's eyes. That's just a tool that God is using. Why? To check me out. To prove my sincerity, to prove my love. So we're able to talk to people about it because trying to give them understanding, and then we bring it to the Lord and they don't want to hear about the Lord. Well, just go live your life worried about your conspiracy. Live in fear. where you can live above that. That's a glorious thing about God Almighty. He's got a plan. And all you got to do is read that last chapter and you see he's winning. He's going to win, man. He's going to win. Okay, we'll stop there and pray. Lord, I do thank you for your words that you've given us. I do pray and ask that you'd help us, the people that do understand the signs of the times. And I pray you'd help us to be people that understand these things, but yet also stay focused upon the real God of the universe, the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to stay focused on that. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Don's going to come in. If